Alright, folks, I just want to welcome you to the Local Food and Sustainability podcast series put out by Finger Lakes Foodie, and their website is community.fingerlakesfoodie.com. So, this series will be discussing, obviously, local food and sustainability. So, there are a lot of terms bandied about when we talk about sustainability, local food, farmers markets, all that jazz. And so the first thing we should probably do is actually define what sustainability means. According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, sustainable is a method of harvesting or using a resource so that the resource is not depleted or permanently damaged. Also, capable of continued with minimal long-term effects on the environment. Sustainability is not some super hyper-liberal movement that only hippies and environmentalists care about. Sustainability is something that everyone can practice, even on the smallest level, whether you live in the city in New York and you don't even have a garden or a patch of land to grow anything, or it could be your commercial farmer. Basically, it's really going to depend on you and what you want to do with it. Podcast is intended to obviously be informative. It really is me trying to convince you why you should consider integrating sustainable practices in your daily life. It's more of a question of why not, honestly. Basically, it's going to improve your quality of life while it's also going to help the environment. And it's a positive feedback cycle. I mean, the more you improve the environment, the more it's going to improve your life. Eventually, if everyone begins practicing sustainability, your air quality is going to improve. Our contamination of our water sources from use of pesticides, things like that, are all going to improve. So let me just give you some specific examples of what can improve in your day-to-day life by practicing sustainability. One right off the bat, if you grow your own food, you're going to save money on your grocery bill, you're going to be growing higher quality food, and you're also going to appreciate your food. So if you've never tried to actually grow your own tomatoes, or your own lettuce, or even be so daring as to raise your own beef cattle, then honestly, you should try it. The second thing is it's going to enable you to produce other household items that you may use. Now, not everyone's going to take sustainability to this level, but you know, if you have some land, some trees, you can provide your own firewood, you can provide your own fencing, you can grow your own medicinal herbs. One of the other great things is thinking of ways to cycle your waste. So in other words, you have kitchen scraps, you have cut up lettuce, you have leftover tomato, you can recycle that. You can basically, there's two ways, just for example, you can do a compost bin, you can do a worm factory, and both of those are going to give you soil, or in the case of the worm factory, basically worm droppings, which you can use for fertilizer, that you can then incorporate into your plants next year. So not only are you improving your soil, you're also decreasing the amount of waste. So if you pay for your garbage, that can decrease your cost substantially, the amount of garbage that you're actually putting out to the curb. Now thus far, we've really just focused on examples of sustainability and how they relate to food. Sustainability should be thought to encompass anything that you do. So you can also incorporate sustainable practices into your home. So for example, heating and cooling efficiency, improving the insulation of your home, planting trees near your home to basically moderate the heat in the summer, recycling your gray water and using it for irrigation on your plants. Basically, it's unlimited. Your imagination is really the limit and to how far you want to take sustainable practices. The thing to keep in mind here is this is not only directly going to benefit you, it's going to benefit the environment, it's also going to benefit your children and their children and their children. So far we've talked about just some examples of sustainable practice that do exist. And basically, like I said, it's unlimited. Now I'm going to introduce a new word to you guys today, which you may or may not have heard of. It's called permaculture. It's actually a contraction of the word permanent agriculture, and that was basically coined by the founder of this movement, Bill Mollison. Now I'm going to read to you a quote from the back of his book, Permaculture, A Designer's Manual. Permaculture is The Conscious Design and Maintenance of Agriculturally Productive Ecosystems. The philosophy behind permaculture is one of working with rather than against nature, of looking at ecosystems and all their functions rather than asking only one yield of them. Permaculture is basically if you want to take your sustainability all the way. You are completely gung-ho. It is a way of life. Basically changing everything you do, designing basically your living center around that. Basically, I just want to introduce you to the idea of permaculture so you can have an idea of what the scope of sustainability really reaches. This is not a new or novel concept. Civilizations and people have been practicing this. It's only in modern times that we've really gotten away from this. I'm sure most of you remember your Native American studies, the Three Sisters, using corns, beans, and squash and growing them together. The Native Americans taught us that as settlers in the Americas. And that's basically just one example of sustainable practices. That's basically what we call intensive gardening, which is growing multiple species together, which will benefit each other in a positive manner. I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again, but the beauty of sustainability is you can do it on whatever level or commitment you want to. Any amount of sustainability that we were not practicing before is going to be an improvement. Now, before we close this podcast out, I want to give you a couple of examples of what we call unsustainable practices. These are going to be agricultural practices that have an enormous amount of inputs. Anything that is needed to actually produce this food or come up with a particular result. And then we have what we call the output, which is the products that it's going to produce. One example of this is going to be commercially grown corn. Most of us are used to eating corn, buying corn pretty cheaply. It's basically a commodity. The reason that we're able to sell it so cheaply is because we're actually using resources at an enormous rate to produce that. So cost is just one of the considerations when we should consider it cheaply. It's really not cheap. So we're putting fertilizers, pesticides, using enormous amounts of time to buy the machinery to harvest this corn, labor. And what do we get out of it? We get some corn at a low cost. We have depleted soils. We have groundwater. We have pests that are resistant. We have species of corn that they need to replant every year because they're hybrids and you can't actually retain any viable seed from them to replant. Now, let's contrast that with the Three Sisters analogy. And we're going to assume that this is combined with other sustainable techniques like companion planting, which is going to attract beneficial insects for pollination as well as predatory insects. And it's also going to discourage pests from showing up. This is also what we call a polyculture versus a monoculture, which means that you're dealing with multiple plant species versus one. And this generally is going to cut down the incidences of plant disease and infestation. Finally, we have the beauty of the design of the Three Sisters configuration itself. The corn shades the squash, and the corn is used as a trellis by the beans, which are also going to fix nitrogen, which fertilizes the soil that the corn is in. So you are ridding yourself of your excess fertilizers. If we're using companion planting, we're also ridding ourselves of pesticides. And by using heirloom varieties, we're also going to be able to reuse our corn seeds for our crop the following year. Now, don't get me wrong, there's downsides to this. You're going to have a lower output of corn compared to the commercial methods. You're going to have increased labor, and you're probably going to have increased costs in what the consumer actually pays. But what we fail to account for when we look at our food prices is, one, the subsidies we pay these farmers, the damage that they're doing to these soils is basically going to take generations to fix, and the amount of fossil fuels that go into the production, or the growing, rather, of these foods that we buy for such a low price, it seems like a great bargain, but we're not taking into account the long-term damages that are occurring. In other words, this trend is completely unsustainable. Eventually, we're going to run out of fossil fuels, or we're going to run out of soil, and we're going to have to repair it because there's no fertile soil left in our nation because it's been completely overused and run down by our commercial farming methods. Now, this is not intended to be bashing commercial farming. It's simply pointing out that the methods that we have used for so long and we've regarded as the only way to do things is not the only way, nor does it really make sense if you actually examine the inputs and the outputs from these methods. If you take anything from this podcast today, I want you to keep in mind that change begins small. Sustainability is not going to begin with all of our commercial farmers suddenly switching over to no pesticide and no fertilizer use on their crops. It's going to begin with a few people here, a few people there, starting to grow tomatoes on their porch and shopping at the local farmers markets. If you would like to continue this discussion, I will also be posting this on our website at community.fingerlakes.com, where you can talk further, post comments, I'll answer questions, we can debate, you can tell me I'm a raving lunatic, and I belong on a tree farm. Thanks for listening today, folks. We'll see you next week.